Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
How's everybody doing this morning? Everybody doing great? All right. Well, it's so great to see each and every one of you today. My name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway Church, and just thankful that each and every one of you are here in service with us tonight. I just have a couple of quick announcements. Many of you that were here the last two Sundays have heard this, but we started our legacy campaign, and I know this is the season for summer vacation and breaks, and so if you did not get a chance to turn in your commitment card for our legacy offering, you can still do that now. And then we just ask between now and the end of September, whatever you pledged, we have these black envelopes just like this, and we just ask that you take that, fill that out, and put your offering in there. That'll just signify it for our counting team that this is, in fact, for the legacy offering. There actually is a place on here, too, that says, I gave my legacy offering online. And so if you are giving online, I'd love for you to go ahead and just fill this out and drop it in the week that you're going to give online so that we know once that gift comes through how to code it in the right way. Wanted to also let you know that this normally is Encounter Night week. I don't know why this is cutting out so terribly bad today, but this is normally Encounter Night week, and just wanted to let you know that because of so many different schedules and things and people on vacation, we are actually not going to have Encounter Night in the month of August. We will have that beginning going back to the month of, as we get into September, we'll be starting that, and I'll give you a little bit more information as we get closer, but just don't want anyone to come to Encounter Night on Thursday night because no one, well, actually, the band will be there for rehearsal. You can come hang out with them. I'm sure they wouldn't mind the company, but there will not be Encounter Night that night. And then I also want to let you know we have some really special guests with us. We have TJ and Melissa Poizel with us from Racine, Wisconsin. Stand up so they all can see you. I know that's just what you wanted to do. And they're here with us. They are launching Soul Revival Church through ARC in the city of Racine at the end of September. And man, church planners are our heroes. Amen. And so they were here at 7:30 this morning just trying to take everything all in, just trying to figure out, hey, man, what's going on? And so we're just so glad them. Man, this is cutting out something fierce. I'm going to have to grab. It's coming. All right. Maybe today is the day of technical difficulty. Thank you. Hopefully we don't have an issue with this the whole time, but I'll leave this here. If it happens again, I'll switch to it. All right.
One of the things that we do every single Sunday is we like to welcome all those who are listening online. In fact, this week, my phone rang, and I was kind of like, oh, this is kind of weird. I don't typically get phone calls from this number or from this, from this person, and they actually live in Arizona. And when I answered the phone, they said, hey, Andrew, just wanted to call and tell you that we're not looking back. And so they had listened to the message from 2 weeks ago, and they were just so excited about what God is doing. And so we just want to give a big welcome to all those who are listening to our message online, and we're just so thankful for them, and thankful for what God is doing in their lives through our online campus. We're going to try this one more time, and if not, I will have to go to this other mic and deal with that. All right. Well, one of the things I was getting ready to say is I typically don't ask for this, but this has been kind of an awkward start to the service, an awkward start to the message. So here's the deal. I know God's given me a word for today, and I think that's part of the reason why we're encountering some of this, is that God has a word that he wants to go forth. And so here's the deal. This might be your first, second time to the Lifeway. I like to say it this way. I will try not to be a boring speaker if you won't be a boring audience. So will you help me preach today? All right, so let's just clap our hands, and we're going to have a great time this morning. Well, one evening, a family decided to host a dinner and a game night for three other families in the church. And so throughout the day, mom was busy preparing dinner, and dad was kind of scurrying around the house cleaning and pulling out extra tables from storage and setting up extra chairs. And finally, the time had come, and all the guests had arrived. They greeted one another. They exchanged pleasantries, and as they sat down to eat dinner, the mom looks, the host mother looks over at her son and says, you know what, why don't you pray over and bless the meal tonight? And so embarrassed and shy, the young boy said, well, mom, I can't, mom. I don't even know the right words to say. But his mother quickly brushed those fears aside and he said, oh, it's easy, son. Just say what you've heard me say. And so he shrugged his shoulders and nodded okay, and he said, dear God, why in the world did I invite all these people over? How many of you know that was a great dinner party? And today we are continuing our series, which is entitled This Is Us, that really is really comprised of family meeting material. How many of you have had some family meetings and don't want that stuff out to the public so everybody knows, right? And so I know this morning that we have some guests here, and I want you to know that we would absolutely love for you to become a part of our church family. In this series, what I'm doing is I'm unpacking our core values and what we stand for, and really the future direction of our church. And so if you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home, if you're looking for a place to belong where you can follow Jesus regardless of where you're at in your journey, I know I'm biased, but this is really a great church family to be a part of. Can I get an amen from somebody? And so we invite you to join us. In week one, in the first week, I talked about how as a church, we cannot afford to look back. How God has called us to move forward, to take on a posture of advancement. We cannot be satisfied. We cannot be content with the status quo, with the successes of yesterday, with the miracles and growths that we have experienced in the past. In fact, many of you are sitting in this room here this morning, and you have found hope, and you've found healing, and you found freedom, and you found deliverance in this church. You've experienced the power of the gospel in the doors and within the walls of this room. And as such, all of us, we now have the distinct privilege. Everybody say the privilege. The privilege of being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in the 414 area. How many of you are excited to be the hands and feet of Jesus? And because there are still so many people in our community who are hurting and who are broken, who are looking to find hope, we must remember Lot's wife. Because we already got ours, we cannot sit idly by and be selfish. We must press forward and not look back. And then last week I unpacked point number one. Go ahead and in your service guide, we've got a sermon outline. I encourage you to pull that out. Follow along with us. Take some notes. If you don't like paper, we've got it digitally on our church app as well. But I want you to take some notes. But we unpacked point number one of This Is Us, which is this. We sacrificially bring our time, our talent, and our treasure to Jesus. So some of us, we do well in maybe one or two of those areas, but God is calling all of us. He's calling us as a church to actively use all of those things for His glory. And so this is something that I've taught often here in our leadership meetings. The pace and growth of our church will be determined by the pace of our generosity. And so last week I taught on how crazy it is that God at times will ask us to return what belongs to Him anyway for Him to use for His purposes. It's crazy that God chooses to use ordinary people. It's crazy that God chooses to ride into town changing lives based on my generosity and based on your generosity. Is anybody excited about that? And here's what I love. Here's what I love. The benefit of our generosity is this, is that we get written into His story. We get written into a story that never ends, a story that lives even beyond the days that you and I will have on this earth. And so if you missed either of those messages, I encourage you to listen to them on our website, iTunes podcast. They're also available on our app because I want you to be caught up on what's going on here at the church. But I want to jump in and I want to give you number two. This is what we're going to be talking about today. Number two right away. Who are we? This is us. We are Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Wow, I thought I'd get more than two amens. Thank you. We are spirit-filled and we are spirit-led. I know, you guys are filling in the blanks. I'm sorry, I do that all the time. I'm sorry about that. We are unapologetically spirit-filled and spirit-led. We are a church that strives to be a representation of the church that we read about in the book of Acts. And so what happens is often when I start teaching about the Holy Spirit or being spirit-filled, there are some people who tend to get a little bit uptight. It's like, they're talking about that weird stuff now. I'm kind of, if Generosity Sunday is your least favorite Sunday, a Holy Spirit Sunday is like, I'm scared about that. What's all going on with that? But I want to put you at ease this morning. Let's look at this scripture. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in 2 Corinthians 13:14, he says, "May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let me just pause right there. How many of you want the grace of Jesus Christ in your life? Let me see your hands. Yeah, that's probably all of us. It should be unanimous. Going on, he says this, and the love of God. How many of you here need the love of God in your life? Let me see here. Yes, we all do. But watch this. Paul goes on and he says this, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Everybody say all. Tell your neighbor, all includes me. And so this word fellowship, it comes from the Greek word koinonia, which means it carries with us the significance of communion and partnership, association, community, and participation. And so the Apostle Paul, he's writing to the believers at the church in Corinth, and he's telling them, he's saying, hey, my prayer for you is that you would be filled, that you would partake in the Holy Spirit, and that you would also share, and that you would use the gifts that only the Spirit of God can impart to you. And so in the book of Acts chapter 1, Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he goes back to heaven, and he tells them, he says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift. Everybody say gift. Gift, he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I want you to recognize, as we read this passage, at this point, Jesus had already paid the one and only sin that would, or price for sin that would ever have to be made. He paid the price, yet he knew that his followers would need something more. And we're thankful for what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary, but Jesus himself knew we would need something beyond that. He knew that they would need the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to accomplish the destiny and the calling that he had placed inside of them. And I want you to understand that 2,000 plus years have passed and nothing has really changed. God has placed a destiny. He's placed a dream and a purpose inside each and every one of us in this room. But we don't have enough strength and we don't have enough power and enough wisdom and enough knowledge to accomplish it on our own. Some of you are sitting here this morning and you're frustrated even as you're trying to do the right things and you're wondering why, I know this is what God's called me to do, but I'm just spinning my wheels and I just can't seem to get any traction and get anywhere. Listen, you're not doing the wrong thing. You're just trying to do it in your own strength. And when we try to do it in our own strength, we get tired. We get weary, we get discouraged, we feel like throwing in the towel and giving up. And that's exactly why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need God to come and dwell and be active inside of us. And so in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, hey, you go and go to Jerusalem and you wait for the promise. And then just as he's about to ascend to heaven, the last thing he says to his disciples, to the ones that he's leaving the future of the movement that he came to establish, he says, but you will receive power. Everybody say power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Charles Spurgeon, who was a very famous pastor and revivalist, said this, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind. We are like branches without sap, and we are like coals without fire. We are useless. And so at the very inception of the church, Jesus said that we needed to be filled with this gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you six things that we receive when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Six things that we receive. The first one is this. Number one, the Holy Spirit enables us to know God's comfort. It enables us to know God's comfort. Jesus knew. He knew that the disciples would probably start freaking out because just 40 days earlier, they had watched Jesus taken and in the mock trial, and they had watched him led up the hill and brutally tortured and murdered, and all their dreams were dashed. All their hopes were dashed. Everything they had given their life to was gone. But then 3 days later, we know, right, he rose again. And he started appearing to his disciples, and it was crazy. Like, they were in closed, scripture says, locked rooms, and all of a sudden, boom, Jesus is standing in the middle, like, floating through walls. And, if this was any of us, like, we would start freaking out. But they were so excited that Jesus came back, and he was better than he had ever been. It was like, wow, this is so great. It's like new and improved Jesus 2.0, you know. And then after a few weeks of meeting with them, he's teaching them, and all of a sudden, he starts ascending into heaven. And if I put myself in those shoes, I'm terrified. I'm horrified. Jesus, what are you doing? And then two angels, they show up, and they say, hey, why are you looking up? Jesus is going to prepare a place. He's going to return again. And so if I'm in this position, I'm like, Jesus, you know, what are you doing to me? I left everything to follow you. I left my business. I left my family. I left my love interest. I left all of that stuff. And now twice in 40 days, you're just going to go up and disappear on me. And Jesus knew that his disciples would need the gift of the Holy Spirit because they would need to be comforted. And in the same way for us, the first thing that the Holy Spirit is going to do to us is it's going to help make us feel better. It's going to help us during times of duress. And so that's why, like we experienced this morning, Tiffany was able to walk up onto this stage just a couple of weeks after losing her father to a very difficult fight with cancer. But she's able to lift her hands and worship Jesus and lead us. Why? Because she is filled with the Spirit, and the Spirit gives her comfort to walk through the difficult situations. And the Holy Spirit will do the same thing for you in your lives. The second thing, number two, is this. The Holy Spirit enables us to know God's conviction. It enables us to know God's conviction. Now, I want you to understand that the voice of the Holy Spirit is not a voice of condemnation, but instead it's actually a voice of gentle conviction. John 16:7 tells us, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away. This is Jesus talking. Because if I don't, the advocate, that word advocate is just another word for the Holy Spirit, the advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Listen, the Holy Spirit living inside of us will bring conviction. There are times where I just feel the Holy Spirit just begin to speak to me. Andrew, just stay away from this. Andrew, this isn't good. This isn't helpful for you. In fact, I remember it was probably about 13, 14 years ago. One of the things that Shyla and I like to do is we like to watch TV shows, and typically there's a few that she loves that I can't tolerate, but just about anything else we kind of watch together. But for whatever reason, I was flipping through the channel one night. She was in the other room, and I came across this series that was, you know, just repeats every week with a new episode, and I kind of got hooked in. The lead character had a really kind of witty and sharp sense of humor that I really kind of resonated with, and I just enjoyed the humor of how it was written, and so I would watch this, and it kind of just became my guilty pleasure. I don't think Shyla ever even watched it with me. And I remember one night as I was watching the show, the lead character in the story had this beautiful family at home, and they had like the perfect, you know, suburban life. Everything was wonderful, but then at work, this lead character was having an adulterous relationship, and the way that you know, as Hollywood tends to do, is they take sinful things and they kind of make it, well, that's fine, it's normal, everybody does that, right? And so I'm watching this, and I remember one night vividly where the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke to me and said, Andrew, is that helpful to you? Nothing more than that. And immediately I begin to think and saying, yeah, you know, watching this being betrayed as normal behavior is not helpful to me. And so I immediately turned the show off, and I've never put it on again. I want you to understand that's what the Holy Spirit will do. When we're filled with the Spirit, he will nudge us, and he will say, hey, this isn't the direction I have for you. If you keep going down this path, you're going to end up in a world of hurt. And so when the Spirit comes into our lives, he brings holiness. He brings his character to us. In fact, Galatians 5:22 tells us what it looks like. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Listen, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, when God takes up residence inside of us, the result is that godly fruit will come forth out of our lives. And what will happen is as this godly fruit grows, our character will begin to change. You'll start loving people that you could never love before. You'll have the ability to say no to things that you could never say no to before. What is that? That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of the Spirit of God being active in our life. Somebody said amen. All right, here's the fourth thing. Number four, the Holy Spirit enables us to live with Christ-like power. Everybody say power. So when you have the Holy Spirit, he gives you the power to change. He gives you the power to overcome. I'm convinced that in the long term, you will struggle to live an overcoming life for Jesus if you are not filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I saw a meme the other day, and it crossed my social media feed. I'm sure some of you have seen it, but on this meme, that it kind of said this. Someone asked me if you needed the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. I replied, honey child, you need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. Somebody said, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. The word power that we read earlier in Acts 1:8 comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means strength. It means ability. It means the power for performing miracles, the power to influence. Listen, God wants to fill each and every one of us with power. Listen to what Jesus said. This is so amazing. He said in John 14:12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. Time out. Anybody look at the works that Jesus did? Laid hands on the sick and they recovered. Laid hands on dead people and they stood up and walked. He turned a little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people. He said, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Also in Mark 16:17, Jesus said, these miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name and they will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. I want you to understand, we live in a day, we're living in an age when people are searching and they are hungry for something that is real and something that will last. Sex has left them feeling empty and alone. Money has failed them. They've climbed the corporate ladder, but yet they're still miserable. They've looked for solace and for comfort and escape in drugs and alcohol, only to become more and more hopeless. Listen, while we will always do what we can here at this church to present Jesus in the best way we know how, good music and good production and hopefully good teaching and great kids ministry, all of that stuff is nice, but it doesn't matter a single bit unless people walk into the doors of this room and have an encounter with the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you and I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when God comes and dwells inside of us, like happened in the book of Acts, what will happen is we will be filled with the power of God. And so that's why I've asked our dream team, and I'm even asking you, those of you that this is your church home, but maybe you're not yet serving on a team, I want you to get to service early. You know, be in your seat before the countdown starts. Come having prayed up, being prayed up so that you are connected to what God wants to do, because there are broken and hurting people every week that are coming in and they're looking for someone to give them hope. Amen. I want you to understand, God is a powerful God, but he wants to unleash his power through us. Through us. That leads me to number five, which is this. Number five, the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual gifts. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we are equipped with spiritual gifts. Anybody here love getting gifts? All right, look around. Whoever's hands up, just cross them off your Christmas list right now. Whoever's hands aren't up, just take them off the Christmas. Like, you know, most everybody loves it. And listen, I especially want all of the gifts that Jesus Christ has for me. And so when you study the Bible, there are over 20 different gifts of the Spirit that are described. And we talk about these in great depth during the second week of Growth Track, which will happen 2 weeks from today. But I encourage you to come and discover what spiritual gifts God has already birthed inside of you. Because some of us are walking around, we've not even had an encounter with the Holy Spirit yet. But because God's wired us, it's already kind of there. And it's amazing how many times we sit down and do this with people. And they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I thought it was. Like, we just know because God created in us. But understand that as a church, I want you to get this, we believe in all, everybody say all of the gifts of the Spirit. And I know some of them can be crazy. And I know some of us came up in backgrounds where, yeah, it was a little wild and it was a little chaotic. But listen, we believe that God heals. We believe that God today still works miracles. We believe that God gives words of prophecy, that he gives words of knowledge, that he gives words of discernment that we share to one another. In fact, I remember a young man in our church came up to me and told me at the end of a service that, you know, as I was doing the closing prayer, God just really spoke to him and challenged him really hard, very specifically. And then I don't know if it was right the same week or a couple of weeks later, they talked to me again and said, you know, after that, you know, what I told you, someone walked up to me and said, hey, I was feeling this, and basically told them the exact same thing that God had spoken to him during our prayer moment. Listen, that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is a word of knowledge. That is prophecy. That is someone working in the spirit of discernment. And we believe that God has placed giftings, different giftings, inside each and every person in this room for the purpose of edifying or building up the body of Christ and building up each other. Anybody glad about the gifts of the Spirit? And then lastly, number six, the Holy Spirit equips us with spiritual direction. It equips us with spiritual direction. One of the biggest questions that people have today is what on earth am I here for? What is my purpose? You know, God, I get up and I go to work and I make a living and I pay the bills, and week after week and month after month and year after year. Isn't there anything more to life, God, than just the rat race? Anybody here ever wondered that? All right, thank you, Jonte, and a few people that nodded their hands, yeah, a few honest people in this room. I've wondered it many times. And I believe that the main reason that this question is asked by followers of Jesus is because they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit like in the book of Acts. If you look at the story of the Apostle Peter, this is the same guy who had just a month earlier had sworn and denied that he even knew who Jesus was. But this man, he goes into the upper room, he receives the Holy Spirit, he walks out, and he preaches the first message the day that the church was born. Scripture tells us that 3,000 people got saved that day. It was a crazy day. There was so much commotion happening. I mean, it was so wild that some of the bystanders, some of the people on the outside looking, they started accusing those who had been filled with the Spirit as being drunk. How many of you know that's a crazy church service? But Peter responds to him. He says, hey, we haven't been drinking. It's 9:00 in the morning. And then he goes on and he quotes the prophet Joel in Acts 2:17. He says, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And so as Peter quotes the prophet Joel on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, he mentions three things. He mentions dreams, he mentions vision, and he mentions prophecy. And so spiritual direction, I want you to write this down, the next blank in your outline, spiritual direction comes from God's dream for my life. And I want you to hear that this morning. God has a dream for your life. And a dream to me is really this picture that's off in the distance. It's this picture that God shows you of what you are supposed to pursue. I remember it was about 13 or 14 years ago now. The exact date kind of slips my mind a little bit. You know, the older we get, the more stuff has to stay up in here, and it kind of gets cloudy after a little bit. But I remember we were in a recording studio on the west side of Milwaukee, not far from Miller Park, and we had been working the entire week doing vocal overdubs for a recording we had done, and we had literally sang hours and hours and hours. I was mentally exhausted. I was physically exhausted. I could taste the blood in the back of my throat. I mean, I was flat wore out, and I honestly was not feeling very spiritual, even though we were doing a Christian recording. And I remember the producer queued up this song. And as he queued up the song, you know, I didn't have the greatest attitude, but I forced myself to smile. And we got to this segment of the song where the lyric said, "For the things he has done." And just like that, it was like, how many of you, well, this is going to date a lot of you. How many of you know like the old film strips from school? Like they, you know, like one slide at a time. Somebody else just look it up on Google afterwards, all right? But it basically, it's like one picture on a screen at a time, and it just goes and it kind of flips through. So just like a film strip, it was like when I sang the lyric for the things he has done, God took like there was 11, 12, 13 pictures that just kind of flashed past my mind, and they were all the things in my life that I would have considered the greatest ministry successes up to that point. And so I was like, wow, okay, that's cool. And the very next phrase of the song says, so it says, for the things he has done. Then the next phrase says, and the things he will do, rejoice. And just like that, it was like, brrr, like 100 images went past my mind and in front of my eyes, places I've never been, people that I've never seen. And I was like, it was so overwhelming. And God just began to speak and said, Andrew, the things I have in your future will make the past seem small in comparison. I have a dream for your life. And so when you have the Holy Spirit active in your life, God will reveal to you his intended picture, his dream for your life. Now, the second thing that we see in this passage is vision to see the next steps. Vision to see the next step. So to me, the difference between a dream and a vision is the dream is kind of that thing that's off in the distance, while vision is today. In other words, God will give you practical things to do today in order to propel you forward to achieve the dream in your future. In fact, I could be, right now, I could have said, well, God, you spoke to me. I was on that stool in that recording studio. God, you had a dream, and I could be sitting there today, right now, and nothing would have happened. Why? Because I had to get off my seat, and I had to do something. I had to take some steps, and so I just had to, you know, say, Jesus, you know what? I'm willing to be generous with my time, and I'm willing to serve here, and I'm willing to be generous with my talents and with my treasure, and I want you to let you know just kind of a backstory of the studio story that I just shared with you is that since that time, I've had two experiences where I know it was one of those pictures. One of them was in Corinth, Mississippi, a little church in the middle of nowhere, way in the northern part of Mississippi. And I remember our music group was doing a worship concert that night, and I was praying. In fact, I was on the right-hand side of the stage, and my eyes were closed. And when I opened my eyes, it was boom. It was one of those pictures. I knew instantly it was one of those pictures. And then years and years and years would pass, and not another one. I've shared this with some of you, but I remember the very first year we did a Christmas youth party. Scott and Linda opened up their office. They've got this great kind of little office complex where they have an indoor basketball court. Sounds like a great office to work at. Maybe I should come work for you. But they've got this, you know, half-court basketball. And so I walked in and was getting ready to pick up my kids, and there were boys playing basketball, and there were girls doing cheer, and there were craft tables. And then it's got this, like, upstairs kind of balcony that overlooks it all. And, you know, really spiritual movie called Elf was on. And, you know, there's popcorn all over the place, kids screaming, kids jumping up and down. I mean, the most spiritual setting you've ever been in your entire life, right? And so I walked up there, and I was went to the edge of the balcony, was kind of looking down and just kind of taking it all in. And I just felt really led, like, man, this is so awesome to see our kids just loving each other and just being in a safe environment. And so I just closed my eyes and said, God, would you just bless our children? Lord, would you guide their steps? Would you order the things that they're going to do in their life? Lord, protect them. Lord, put the right relationships in their path. And so I'm praying this, like I said, super spiritual moment, like, man, tons of prayer and fasting had happened that day. No, none of that happened. But listen, I opened my eyes and instantly it was one of those pictures. I knew the second I saw it, it was one of those things where God had shown me. And so I want you to know that there are still more pictures that I haven't seen, which means that I've got more steps to take. All right, vision to see the next steps. And then lastly, Peter mentions prophecy. Prophecy to affect an eternal result. Prophecy to affect an eternal result. In other words, the Holy Spirit will give you truth to speak into existence, the truth to believe that it is actually God's dream and vision for your life. Some of us need to begin to speak into existence the things that have been God-breathed into our spirit. We need to focus on and talk about what God is doing and what He intends to do. We need to speak blessing. We need to prophetically declare the scripture. For example, I just want to do a short illustration of this. You know, I believe that our church is going to grow. I believe that we're going to reach more and more people. Why? Because the Bible says that God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Lord, you are not willing that any should perish, but that all would have eternal life. Your word says that the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. They will not conquer the church. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask and even think. See, what happens is you feel something begin to stir when you quote prophetic scripture. There's a shift and a change that begins to happen. And so my goal is for every person who considers this the Lifeway, their church home, to be spirit-filled and be spirit-led. Let me wrap this message up by making this super, super personal. How do I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Our prayer really should be, God, I want all of the gifts that you have for me. I need comfort. I need conviction. I need spiritual direction. I need your power in my life. The first thing that you need to do, number one, is remove the barriers. Remove the barriers. Some of us have been incorrectly taught that we don't need this. Some of you come from backgrounds that have said, well, the Holy Spirit is strange. It's weird. Listen, I'm telling you, it's not. I love this verse of scripture in Acts. People, upon realizing the mistakes that they made as Peter was preaching this first message, they asked him, he said, Peter, what should I do to make things right? And so he says, repent. All right, we do that every single week. We give people an opportunity to make that commitment towards Jesus, to make that step toward Jesus. God, I'm sorry for the things I've done. He said, repent and be baptized. And we're going to have a baptism coming up, I think, September 1st. So if you've not been baptized, go ahead, mark that on your Connect card and drop that in the giving kiosk. But he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Watch this, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is a gift, and we need to open up our hearts and lives to receive it. It is God's plan. The second thing that we need to do, number two, is we need to request the gift of the Holy Spirit. Request it. Watch this. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We need to start asking the Lord, Lord, I want every gift that you have. Lord, just fill me to overflowing. Lord, that I just want to be so full of you, Lord, that you pour out of my life. And then lastly, we need to receive it by faith. We need to receive the Holy Spirit by faith. We are saved by faith. Every gift from God comes through faith. And some of us struggle with this whole concept of the Holy Spirit, because we kind of like to look at things intellectually. We like to have everything all figured out. We feel as if we must have an explanation. But listen, I want you to understand, we don't have to perfectly understand every single thing, because Scripture tells us that His ways are higher than our ways. that his thoughts are greater than our thoughts. I want you to understand, we serve such a great big God, and we just need to believe him and ask for it and receive the gift. This isn't in my notes, and this gets dangerous when I do this, but I can't help but think of our children as they get ready for Christmas. And if your kids are anything like mine, there's always that one gift, you know, like the one that they want, right? And they come down on Christmas morning, and as parents, we do everything that we can to get it for them, right? But guess what? When our kids ask for that PS4 or that Nintendo Switch or the new iPhone or an iPod, they're not like, well, okay, God, Dad's going to have to make this much, and if his bonus is this, then Mom and Dad will, then I might get that, and then if this comes in, and if we have a warm winter and we don't spend as much on heating, there'll be more money, so I'm probably, no, our kids don't even think any, they just, can I have the gift, Dad? And so many of us, we come to God the same way. We try to figure it all, and we just need to come and say, God, you got this gift. I don't understand it all, but Lord, fill me to overflowing with your Spirit. Our purpose as a church is to help people know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. When we are filled with the Spirit, first of all, we find freedom in our lives from the things that weigh us down, from the things that we struggle with. But secondly, there is an outflow of love that can't help but come out of us, and other people are just drawn to it. And when the love of Jesus pours out of us, people who are hurting and people who are bound and people who are addicted, they can find hope and they can find freedom. When we are filled with the Spirit, we're passionate. We are happy to be generous with our time, our talent, and treasure. The passion that the Holy Spirit gives us, it draws us to the house of the Lord. That way we can say like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house. It's not something I have to do out of obligation, but when I'm full of the Spirit and Christ is moving inside of me, I just want to be around my brothers and sisters. I want to be around family. I want to be in his presence. It draws us to lift our hands, to sing in the midst of storms, and even at times dance for him. It compels us to get connected and to use our spiritual giftings to serve the body of Christ. When we are filled with the Spirit, we are filled to overflowing with joy. And I don't know about you, but I have met so many so-called Christians who are the most miserable, ugly people in the world, and I'm not talking about their looks. They're dull. They're dreary. They're boring. In fact, when you see them, you want to run the other direction. Don't point them out if they're here today, all right? In fact, I think their scowl is like their favorite look. Like if you go on their profile pictures, it's like, you know, like that. Listen, but people like that, they suck the life out of me. But I want you to understand that when God fills you full of his Spirit, you get filled with this unspeakable joy that is so attractive, that it's so contagious, that it literally draws people towards you. The Bible tells us that wherever Jesus Christ went, crowds followed him. Why? Because he was the giver of life. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, this is us. We are unapologetically a Spirit-filled and Spirit-led church. We are a church that is life-giving. I speak prophetically that we are a church that is full of abundance and joy and peace and happiness. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. There are some of you, you're excited about what I'm talking about, receiving the gift of the Spirit, but you've never even said yes to Jesus. You've never even repented. You've never even made that first step. And so I can think of no better time than right now in this place on a Sunday morning that you would just make that choice. God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to stop going my own direction. Lord, I repent, which simply means to make an about face. And instead of going my own direction, I'm going to go your direction. And so with no one looking around, if you're ready to make that choice today, I want to pray for you. Would you just signify that by lifting your hands so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hands all over the place. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for the power of your word. Lord God, I thank you that it's reaching for us, that it convicts us, that it draws us to be more like you. Lord, for every hand that's raised, Lord, today, from this day forward, we put a mark in the sand and we walk towards you instead of our own direction. Lord, we forget the past that we can't change, the mistakes that we've made. And Lord God, we thank you today for new life and forgiveness. And Lord God, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you did, for the blood that you shed for us so that we could be set free. We receive what you did for us today. Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone else in this church. Lord, those who are not filled with the Holy Spirit, who have not received the gift that you described, that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you'd put a hunger inside of us. And whether it happens in a worship service, whether it happens in just a few moments when we close this out in a time of worship, whether it happens in our car, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would allow us to experience that so we can be filled with power. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.